I have a PowerPoint here today, so let me set this up. So all of us at some time have had a wristwatch, and if we were to take that off and to begin to disassemble it and take all the parts apart, every single one, and put it in a box, and we set it somewhere, let's say right here on the stage, and we came by day after day, I don't think any one of you would think that after the first day, the first month, the first year, even a decade, that those parts of and by themselves would come together. Does anybody think that? If you raised your hand, you would stump me because I wouldn't know what to say. So anyway, if you think about a space shuttle then, let's take something more difficult with many more parts, tens of thousands of parts, so technical, with the fuel system and the heat shields and all the electrical system and so forth. If we dismantled that and we put it in several warehouses all close together, we would never think that that would come back together of its own. And if we take it a little more to a difficult level, what about the human body? With all the joints and the skin and the nerves, everything God put there, you would never think that that could come together on its own. If we take that watch and that space shuttle and we spread the parts around the world, not even a close proximity, we would never think they would come together. And if we take it even another step to make it even harder, what if we didn't even make the parts? What if those parts had to come out of the ground? We've already made them. And so we look at that and we consider that it's common sense, and not in a million years would we expect those things to come together on their own and start working and function. It requires a maker, a designer. It requires a creator. And so as believers, we know that the animals, the plants, and the universe did not just happen. It didn't just come about on its own. For instance, we have our home. We didn't expect, if we were going to build our home, we didn't expect it just to say, hey, we want a home and it shows up. No, we have to go to the forest and cut down the trees. And that's because the trees are already there. And so we put them together and build a home. It takes planning for a car to design it, to put it together. And so all these items, we could name many of them, they take effort. They take materials. They take knowledge. And so our designer, our creator, has a beautiful purpose for everything he has made. And so today, I want you to think about the greatness of God, all that he has done. He's an amazing designer, a sustainer, a life giver, a creator. And as we reflect on this topic, it's vital that we honor him, that we glorify God, that we praise him continually, that we give him thanks. And so the title of my message today is Our God is an Awesome God. Brethren, let's begin by turning to Psalm chapter 8 and verse 1. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. You know, we should consider everything that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ have prepared for us. So much they have done. Let's notice the words of David here a little bit in Psalm chapter 8. Beginning in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. So in little pieces of information here and there, God tells us things about himself. He sets above the heavens. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And so, brethren, as we think about that, what God has done, when you look at that slide there and you consider how God stretched out the heavens, it is so miraculous, so to speak. And you think about all the designing, all the planning that went into it. Notice what David says there in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And so as you look up in the night sky, you can see the power and magnificence of God. Here's another slide, and notice what David says in Psalm 147, verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Can you imagine that? To think about how God knows where every planet is. He thought about it, planned it, created it, set it there in that place in the universe. And you look at that picture there with all those little white dots representing either galaxies or stars far away. And God has done all of that. He has stretched out the heavens. And astronomers have estimated that there are over 100 billion galaxies. Think about that. Not only that, in each and every galaxy, they estimate that the average number of stars is 200 billion. So for us to get an idea of how many stars that is, I have you picture taking your shoes off and going on the beach and walking through the sand, and you look down and you say, well, I wonder in this little square of sand, how many little granules of sand there are. And if you think about that a little bit and you look down the beach this way and down that way and you go, wow, that's so many little particles. Well, astronomers have estimated, to give us an idea, that the number of stars in the heavens are equal to all the sand on all the beaches in all the world. Can you grasp that? I mean, that is so much. And so when you think about that, as you look at the stars, it reminds us of the greatness of God. It's so amazing. And so we should think on this daily. And what should it lead us to do? As Paul said in Philippians, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It should lead us to redeem the time, to make the most of every day, and not to waste a minute, because this life is planned out by God, and He has a purpose. Let's look at verse 4 here in Psalm 8. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." And so when we think about God's majesty, his power and might, why did he create us as humans? Well, he has a purpose. He has a reason for everything he's done. Let's look at verse 6. "You have made him, you have made man to have dominion over the works of your hands." And then it says, "You have put all things under his feet." Now, if we look at the book of Hebrews, it tells us that not yet has God put all things under us. So he's put the earth at this time under us, and we have to consider that. So man will inherit, as it says in the Moffat translation, the universe at some point in time. But God is using this earth to prepare us. Notice what it says here on this slide, Jeremiah 32. "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." So think about that as you look up in the skies and see what God has done. Let's read verse 7. Here's the things that God has put under us for now. "All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea." And so this is what God has set under us at this time. And so, brethren, God has a very detailed plan. Look at some of the things here now that we just read that God has put under us. He said the sheep and oxen. Here's a couple little sheep. And you look at them, and I see that little white sheep, and you look, it looks like it hasn't even grown into its skin yet. It's kind of got wrinkled skin. But look at how cute they are. No wonder God referred to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. And notice what it says there in Deuteronomy chapter 11. "And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock." So God not only creates the animals for us, but then he creates the grass for them. And you think about all the different levels of what God has planned out. Another item he put under us, as he said, the birds of the air. And you look at the way that bird is colored and structured, and you look at the beauty of what God thought out and planned. And he didn't do this. God doesn't need a bird. He did it for our enjoyment, for our use. And so you just look at these items that God has set us over. Here's a shot underneath the oceans. And you think about all the schools of fish that God designed. In Psalm 135, it says, "Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places." And so God has that power to do these things, but he has a great plan behind all of it. And so, brethren, my thinking is, life gets so busy, and we tend not to look at creation as much as we should, and to enjoy it, and to Allow it to point us to God, because he's behind all this. Let's look at verse 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And so, brethren, we need to take the time to appreciate creation. We need to look at the birds. We need to look at the plants. We need to look at other humans and look at the stars above us, and to give God the esteem that is due to him, to give him the adoration, to magnify his name, because he is a great God. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. We'll notice here that of all the creation, there's something different about man. And we're familiar with this scripture here, Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Think about that. As far as we know, in all the universe, we are the only things made in the image of God. And so that should tell us something. There's something behind that that should hit us on that. Continuing on, it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So for now, our dominion, our authority is over the things on the earth. And so there's a reason that we're made in the image of God, so that we can join the family of God. That's what God is getting us ready for. And we have a responsibility now to take care of the earth. And yet you look at what man has done, we've messed up the earth terribly. The pollution of air and land and water, it's a mess. We tend to cut down trees faster than we rebuild them. And we force the ground to get more crops out of them without doing the proper things that God set up. And so there's a lot that's going to have to be cleaned up in the future. But each of us needs to be careful of how we practice these things that God told us to have that authority over the land, to take care of these things carefully. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So men, women, and children, we are all in the image of God. And it's amazing how he works this out. We're all varied in how we look, and yet God says, you're all in my likeness and image. And so this earth is the practice grounds for inheriting the universe. And so it's important for us to use the time on this earth properly. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And so God wants us to multiply. He wants us to have more children so that in the long run that he can have many children. Notice this next slide. Look at the little baby, and that's how precious they are to each one of us. As we, as a parent, have a child, and we love that child with all of our heart. And yet God desires to have many children in his family, just as we do. And he looks on each one of us as his little child. There in Psalms 127, verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And so we have a huge responsibility as parents to teach our children. You know, we know the scriptures about passing that information on to them, because if we don't, it will be lost in the future generations. And a good example of that is this nation. Look at how much of God's truth and his way of life has been lost in society. And so it's critical that each day we teach them, when we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk along the way, that our kids are being taught. In verse 28, we did see that we were supposed to not only multiply, but to subdue the earth. God is telling us, as his children, that we need to be stewards of this earth, that we need to take care of the things that are under our control. And so, as you think about that, your home, your property, even our brethren, we're to be responsible to each other. And God says, even in the Bible, to take care of the widows. God wants us to be stewards of everything on this earth and to do the best job we can. Just as this child is precious, so are each one of you to God. And so our lives are here to prepare us for our future, for the promises that God has offered us. And you think about those promises. He has offered us eternal life. Can we imagine that? He wants us to inherit the universe. He wants us to be his very sons and daughters. And so as God allows us in the future to be changed into spirit. He wants it to have for us to have a time when we won't have any more pain, no more death, no more sin by us, no more worries and sickness and fear. And so all the things we go through now, God is training us for the future, and then he will take those things away. So we cannot afford to let a day go by where we don't recognize the greatness of God. Each one of us needs to do that more. And we have to also not recognize it, but we need to do our part. We can't just talk about the greatness of God. We need to live a way of life that shows honor and glory and respect to God. We know that God exists. Each of you knows that with all your heart. That's why you're sitting here today. But we need to show that by the way we live. Here's a picture of our Earth from the NASA Space Hubble. And you see the sun there in the background and the moon and then all those vast stars out there. Let's go back and just turn back a page to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. God makes a simple but profound statement here. If it was man, he would word this so much differently and say so much more. But God says in 1 verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Boom. He just puts it right out there, stating what he did. And so in one sentence, everything you see is explained. God created it, and he just tells us just like that. And yet man fights that all away. And so this earth that we see there is just like a grain of sand with all the planets that are out there. The sun, the moon, and the stars, and all life on this planet were created by our great God. The word created here in verse 1 is the Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A. And the connotation of that word is that God created everything out of nothing. Isn't that amazing? You and I, if we go home and we want a pizza for dinner, we've got to go to the store and buy the hamburger. We've got to pick up the bread dough and the mushrooms and the cheese and all the toppings that you would want on it. And so we get these ingredients together and we make something. But God created. He made it out of nothing. And so that should stagger our mind that he has the power to do that. He has the imagination to come up with all the beautiful items that we see. And so he not only does that, but he keeps it going. He sustains it, and he arranges the order and organizes it. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 7. We'll look at how man came about. Genesis 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." And so, brethren, we know that God created all the elements. He told us there back in verse 1 of chapter 1. And so he created the dust that he made us out of. And so you look at, we can't begin to imagine, how do you get a human being and life out of that dirt? But God has the power to do that. And so he has everything worked out. Everything. He made us from the dust. And when we die, we go back to the dust. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 again and go back to verse 14. Genesis 1, verse 14. "Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so." And so we think about this picture here, where we see the sun going down one evening, and that God created that powerful, the sun, and all the energy is there, all the heat. Otherwise, this planet would freeze up in no time. And God knows the distance to set it away from the earth, and every single thing. If we continue with our reading here from the screen, in Genesis 1, verse 16, "Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day." And continuing on, it says, "And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." So as we see the sun and the moon and the stars, we should be reminded of what God is doing. Brethren, God has worked everything out, more than we realize. He's worked out when to call us. Just out of all the world, he knows when to call you into his truth. He knows how to preach the gospel. He knows when to resurrect the dead. He knows when to send Jesus Christ back. He knows how to answer you before you even ask. And so you think of the power of God, and each time we look at these items of his creation, it should remind us of his greatness. Do you grasp how wise, how powerful, how loving, how compassionate God is, and that he's everlasting? And so we should meditate on these things daily, I should say. It's an honor to know that we will serve under a God who has these qualities. Have you thought about that? To serve for the rest of eternity under a God who is absolute love. Let's turn back to the New Testament, to Colossians 1, verse 15. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. This informs us exactly who created in the God family. Colossians 1 verse 15. Paul is writing to the church there in Colossae, and he says, "He," meaning Christ, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things," so there's the term all things again, the universe, everything in it, he created. "All things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible." So even though we can't see those angels that minister unto us, God created them as well through Jesus Christ. "Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." And so, brethren, there is no other book in the world that can claim that somebody did that. There's no other person that can say, "I created this," or "I know." God says, "I did it." And we believe that. Let's look at verse 18. "And he," as Christ here, "is the head of the church," or the head of the body, the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. In all things he may have the preeminence." And so Christ is leading us today. And so this leads us to think that we need to be looking at the Bible, because this is the Word of God. And in the past, he was the Word. And so God's saying, "I'm going to teach my children through my Bible." And so we need to look at his words daily to have that relationship with him. This is how God communicates with us today. And so many people claim to be Christians, but if we don't read our Bibles, and if we don't follow what we read, we're truly not a Christian. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20, Paul tells us a little more about God's creation. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So, brethren, God is really saying, not only to us, but the whole world, you have no excuse not to know that I exist. You just look at my creation, and it loudly proclaims how great I am. Continuing in verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And so anyone, and this is God's words, not mine, anybody that doesn't believe in the great God, believes in evolution or anything along that line, God's saying they are foolish. Notice what it says here as we look at a picture of the universe and a galaxy out there. Isaiah 40, verse 28. The prophet says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." And so, brethren, when we think about this, God has revealed to everyone his qualities through his creation. So that leads us to ask ourselves often, do we glorify this God that created everything? Do we thank him for his power, for his wisdom, and for his desire to increase his family? Because that directly affects each and every one of us. We are here because God wants a family. And many people on earth don't even stop to think about that. I'd like to read a few paragraphs from an article that was written in the Wall Street Journal just back in December. This is written by a man named Eric Metaxas, and the name of the article is "Science Increasingly Makes the Case for God." So listen to a few words that he says. In 1966, the astronomer Carl Sagan announced that there were two important criteria for a planet to support life: the right kind of a star, so that's the first one, and a planet the right distance from that star. Given the roughly octillion planets in the universe, that's one followed by 27 zeros, there should have been about a septillion planets supporting life. And so that's one followed by 24 zeros. So in other words, they're saying that one planet out of 1,000 should have life, just based on the odds of everything. And so remember, they did these things and to look for this. He says, with such spectacular odds, large and expensive projects were launched in the 1960s, hoping to turn up something soon. So they were looking for life on another planet. As the years passed, the silence from the rest of the universe was deafening. As of 2014, researchers have discovered precisely zero. And so the article goes on to explain that as they found more factors necessary for a planet and for life, it lowers the number of planets that could have life. And so he goes on to say, today there are more than 200 known parameters necessary for a planet to support life, every single one of which must be perfectly met, or the whole thing falls apart. So consider that. I mean, everything has to be perfectly met. Without a massive planet like Jupiter nearby, whose gravity will draw away asteroids, 1,000 times as many would hit the Earth's surface. So that's just one little parameter that needs to happen. The odds against life in the universe are simply astonishing. He says, can every one of those many parameters have been perfect by accident? Because we are here. We are life on this planet. And he goes, the odds are against that. Then he asks, at what point is it fair to admit that science suggests that we cannot be the result of random forces? And so if you think about it, what science has discovered, even though some of them are atheists, it shows the Bible is more accurate than many people have believed. In the book of Hebrews, we read the statement that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so we believe in a God, even though we can't see him, by his attributes, by the creation around us. Even though we can't see God, it is so clear that he exists because of his creation. And it's obvious that he designed us. Brethren, the creation is too marvelous to happen by random chance. These slides that I will show today barely scratch the surface of the beauty of God's creation. The universe, we see, is more complicated than any watch, more complicated than any space shuttle. God has laid it out marvelously. And so look at the picture here of just a shot here on Earth. And in Psalm 66, verse 5, it says, come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. And so because of God, he made it so that we can have the open fields and the trees and these things to enjoy. If he hadn't removed the sea from here, you know, it wouldn't have been where man could cover the earth like we have. Here's another shot, that the image here that David says here in Psalm 147, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. And so do we think on this daily, brethren, as we go to our jobs, as we go to school, as we are in the communities, to think about the greatness of God. We have eyes to see the color in these pictures. We can see the distance and the arrangement because God created us. He created our eyes. You think about that. He created our ears so that we can hear the birds singing and to be able to communicate with one another. Let me read a couple more paragraphs from that same article. It goes on to say, the fine-tuning necessary for life to exist on a planet is nothing compared with the fine-tuning required for the universe to exist at all. For instance, if the ratio between the nuclear strong force and the electromagnetic force had been off by the tiniest fraction of the tiniest fraction. And then he says, by even one part in one quadrillion. So he's talking about just one parameter here. If it had been off that much, then no stars could have ever formed at all. And so what he's getting at here is the deeper man searches into things, the more evident that an awesome creator created all of it. Because these things are beyond odds to even happen. One last paragraph. He says, multiply that single parameter by all the other necessary conditions, and the odds against the universe existing are so heart-stoppingly astronomical that the notion that it all just happened defies common sense. And then he gives us an example. Think about this. He said it would be like tossing a coin and having it come up heads 10 quintillion times in a row. And so we know that God created. That's why man's even finding out through science there's no way this could have come about on its own. And we're here today because we already believe in God. And so we have a head start on that, and many people still have to learn that. We know that we're lucky sometimes if we can get 5 heads in a row when we flip a coin. And so all these necessary conditions were created by God. So let's look at a few of the scenes on earth to think about the greatness of God in all these areas. Here, as we look at the oceans, and God created all that water. It says in Psalm 33, he gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. And so think about the planning that went in to create the hundreds of billions of gallons of water in the oceans and the rivers. Notice what it says here in Job 38. Or who shut in the sea with doors when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. So God even designed where the beaches would be so that the waters would be held in. He's got it all planned out. And my point with all these details, if God is this detailed with the waters and the birds and the animals, think about the detail that he has in your life planned out for you and what he's hoping you will do, what you will accept, and his invitation into the family of God that he's wanting you to get ready for. So we should think about that. Here's another sea of the ocean with the large whale in Genesis 1, verse 21. It says, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind. You think about that little statement there, according to their kind. We can read right over that, but God made it so that this animal not only lived, but now it's going to multiply and have more so that it just continues, just like humans, just like all the birds and all the plants. God made everything after their kind. So we see that God laid all this out perfectly. Here's one more shot of the inlet of an ocean coming in. And David says in Psalm 33, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So you think about the power that God does with, he created the tides, the waves, and the currents. He decided how much water to put there. And not only has he done this in the past, but in the future, there's a time coming when God says there will be no more sea. And so you think about, he has everything laid out for the time ahead. And if we go a little further beyond that, he says there's a time when there's going to be a new heavens and new earth. And so I'm wanting us to see, brethren, that God is so detailed in everything he does, which means that we need to be more careful in our details about life. Like all the laws of God, they may seem like, oh, that's not important, but God says, I put that law there for a reason, and it's a good law, and it's a holy law, as he says. And so we need to look at everything he says from that standpoint. Brethren, these pictures in God's creation should remind us that God has everything in our lives figured out. Even our trials. He says that he won't put on us more than we can bear. And so you think about some of the things that we go through, and at times we feel like, God, this is too much. But God says, no, I'm allowing you to now see me closer through this trial, to call out and draw near to me. And so God is involved in our lives as much as we'll let him. And that's the key. That's why he says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He's wanting us to build a closer relationship with him. And so let's take a look at some of the clouds here. You know, we take them for granted as kids. We can look up at the clouds and see, you know, how they move around in the different shapes. But Job says here in chapter 37 of his book, do you know how the clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of him who is perfect. And so we can walk along in a day and be so stressed out with our work or projects we have that we don't look up and see and think about how God has created these items for our well-being. Here's another scene of the clouds at sundown. And in Psalm 69, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And so, brethren, as we see these items in God's creation, we should continually magnify God and praise him. Here's another scene of the clouds over an inlet of the ocean. In Job 38, verse 37, it states, who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven? And so you think about when God rains down on areas that where man isn't even there. And he says, I'm taking care of this land. I'm feeding this area. And so it just reminds us of the greatness of God. Brethren, there is so much that humans don't focus on. We can go through life and we forget about the clouds and many different things. As we see God's handiwork every day, we need to be careful not to overlook these items. We cannot take it for granted. Each item should point us to God. As we see the beauty of his creation, we should go, wow, what a great God we have and how much he has done for us. We'll look at some of the trees here. In Genesis 2, verse 9, it says, out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And so you think about the multiple trees that God has provided. Here's a scene that when I see it, I think, wouldn't it be wonderful to have my house there? And you look out, and that's your backyard. And you say, hey, kids, go run in the fields, climb the trees, and enjoy. And yet, one day, it will be like that in the kingdom. And so you just think about what God is preparing for us. Wherever we look, we see the hand of God. Some of the trees are evergreen, some are fruit, providing us nutritious food. And so we just have to think about how God is an awesome provider in every possible way. Then it comes to, we like our bread, we like our food, and look at the fields of grain that God planned out and designed for man to enjoy. In Psalm 65, verse 9, it says, you visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. And so, brethren, every slice of bread we eat, or any of the grains that we have, God has prepared those. Whether it's wheat, or barley, or oats, or corn, God made those seeds so that they continue the harvest year by year. And so we need to be thankful for everything that God is doing, to realize that he watches out for us. That not one thing, and I mean not one small detail, is overlooked by God. Nothing. We see also the mountains. And most of us have gone to the mountains and seen how majestic they can be. In Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Here's another scene. I had this one because if it's a mountain chain, that I wanted to show the amount of snow that can be on the mountaintops and the mountain pack there in the high areas. And in Isaiah, the prophet says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So you think about that God planned all this out so as this snowpack begins to melt and the rivers flow, that it fields or it provides water to the crops down in the fields below. And God has worked all these many things out. Here's another picture up close, whether it's frost or snowflakes, but you look at the intricate design that God says that he created that. He figured out the pattern, how no snowflake is alike, or in the same way how humans aren't alike. And you think about, he made it up so there's so many variations, and yet they're all so beautiful and closely connected. In Job 38, it says, "From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth?" And so, brethren, it's our great God who did this, and we need to keep that in mind continually. As you look at those mountains, I mean, you see the beauty of it and how the frost is melting on the trees up close and the further ones are still covered with snow and ice and the reflection of that in the water. God designed all that, every little bit. In Psalm 147, verse 16, it says, "He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes." And so, brethren, everything that you see in this beautiful creation was planned out and designed by the one who wants us to become his children. As kids, as our kids, or when we were kids, when we were growing up, many times we are clueless as to all that our parents do. You know, we just sit down and we want our food. You know, we're hungry. And we didn't think about our parents had to go out and work for that, that they had to go to the store and buy it and then prepare it. We just saw the food. Well, in the same way that our children can be clueless to how much we do for them, many times we're the same way to God, that we don't really see all the background and the scenes behind the scenes that God has worked out so that we can enjoy it. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded that God has created all these things, that he has designed it out in great detail. And so that means it's very important that each one of us study our Bibles and to be excited about what we read, because that is the mind of God revealing to us his plan. So he planned out these mountains, but he's also got this plan for us. And this should remind us as we look at his creation, it's like, wow, he's got tremendous things in store for me as one of his children. We should think about his plan and his greatness every single day. Let's go back to the book of Job, Job chapter 12 and verse 7. Job chapter 12 and verse 7. And here Job, we know, had gone through so much. He had lost many of his children, much of his flocks, his herds, and he's sitting in a pile of ashes because he has boils that are so painful. And his friends are sitting around him, and they're criticizing him. But I want us to notice some words that Job speaks to his friends here that apply to this today. Job 12, verse 7. It says, "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" And so you think about how true this is, that God has shown us through his creation the greatness that he has. And so what I've done is I've taken these same scriptures that we just read here, and I applied them to a few slides. And so I'll just read these same scriptures I read, but with these animals and scenes applied to it. And it kind of brings it to life more, I think. So you look at this member of the cat family and the ways its eyes just are honed in on something. And you look at the coloration, the dots in its fur, and you go, wow, the hand of God did this. So let me just read this, what it has on the screen. Job 12, verse 7. "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you." And so you look at that, and that's telling us that God is a great creator, and he's done this. Look at that picture of a red cardinal in a winter storm, all hunkered down, trying to stay warm. But God has planned how that can stay warm, how it can survive. He's thought all this out. Look at the beautiful color that he made that bird. And so continuing there in Job, it says, "And the birds of the air, and they will tell you." And then look at this scene here. I mean, how many of us would like to have a house close to that where we look out every day and see the beauty of the colors and the lake and the sky? It's absolutely gorgeous what God has done. And so in verse 8 it says, or speak to the earth and it will teach you. See, these items that God created tell us so much about the mind and the planning of God. And the fish of the sea will explain to you. And then notice in Job 12, verse 9, who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And so you look at this mother duck with all her little ducklings, and you go, how precious is that? God designed that. He created it. How the mother will take care of them and raise them. And you just think that this cries out of the greatness of God. Continuing on in Job there, it says, in whose hand is the life of every living thing. So not just humans, but the animals. And you look how he even built into the mothers of all of the animals, but here the giraffe taking care of their little ones. God designed that. And finally, in verse 10, it finishes up, and the breath of all mankind. And so, as you look at this, brethren, and you see all these people, we might say, wow, that's a large group of people, but that's nothing compared to the billions on earth and the, you know, maybe 100 billion that have lived throughout history. And you think about it, and this is just a small sample of all those that are out there. And my point here is these people were all made in the image of God. And so God has a plan for every single one of them. Of course, we know that many of them do not know God's plan. And what is our proof of that? They don't follow his laws. They haven't been called yet, as God says. He needs to call them and draw them in order for us to have our minds opened up to the truth. And so no matter where we look, we see God's handiwork, whether it's in the humans and the animals or the plants. We see it in the mountains and the snow. We see it in the birds. We saw it in the little babies. We see it in the stars. And so let's look at a few slides that show the variety and the diversity of what God has created in all areas. Look at this little owl. I mean, when I see that owl, I want to go up and pat its little head. And yet, then I look down and I see its claws and I go, whoa, I don't want to get too close. But you look at his feathers and God, how God just cared about that. And he designed that from scratch, out of nothing. And there's not just that owl, there's all the varieties of owls, probably hundreds or thousands of them. And God worked all that out. Look at these two zebras. And you think about it. I mean, God has a sense of humor here. He put those stripes on there. And I'm guessing they're like our fingerprints where no two are alike. And then I even noticed how the hair on the back of their neck. Look at how the hair grows out. And depending on the skin it grows out of, it's the color. The hair is the same color as the skin. So it's so beautiful what God has done. Here's two bucks in a field. And in Psalm 42 it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. And that's a song we sing. And if you think about that, God's saying, in the same way these animals desire the water to nourish their bodies, he's saying you need to desire me and to hunger and thirst after me and let me fill you. Let me show you the way. And so it's beautiful what God is doing. Look at this little guy. You know, the variety is amazing, isn't it? It's so diverse. And so you could say, well, I could almost take him home. And then I look, whoa, look at those claws. I go, I don't know. He can climb a tree pretty good, but I don't know how you do in the house. So God created all types of animals, brethren. Look at the butterfly. The way God, I mean, I could have put so many pictures in here. I had a hard time knowing which pictures to throw out because just the diversity in butterflies I saw was just staggering. But you think about how light and dainty that butterfly is, and then you think, well, here God created over here a large elephant or a rhinoceros, and you look at the diversity of that. In Job, it says, chapter 37, verse 14, listen to this, O Job, and I say to all of you and to me, put your name in there. God's talking to us. Listen to this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And so think about that. And so we see these animals are perfectly balanced in all ways, you know, and God created these out of nothing. And so as we read back there in Romans, his invisible attributes, God's qualities are clearly seen in his creation. And we mentioned You know, we looked through the space, or I should say the telescope, to see space. And you saw the stars at a far distance. Well, if you turn that around and look in a microscope and go down to the small things, it's just as detailed. It's just as beautiful and planned out. And so God is organized in every single way. If God is concerned with the plants, with the animals, and the universe, isn't it the same for all of us? Isn't he watching your life? And we should never fear that God is not with us. He says he will not forsake us. And these items can remind us of that. Our Father is offering each of us a future to be in his family, to live forever. And he's working it out. It may not be as fast as we want, but he's working it out. He's very patient and he's very powerful. And so let's look at a little bit of the color in the bird family. And so you look at that bird and you see the way God designed it. Just think about the planning that it takes to know how to put all that together, the feathers, the beak, and everything. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, it says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And then this statement, "Are you," this is talking to all of us, "are you not of more value than they?" So consider that, brethren. God is trying to tell us something. Out of all his creation, he goes, "I have my eye on you. I'm focusing on you." Look at the color here in this mallard duck and the beauty of it. And to think, you know, here's an animal that flies, but then you go, God made it so that it can swim so graciously as well. And so he put, you know, most birds have the claws, but here this one has the webbed feet. And you look at the green on its head, and then I thought about it. I go, wait, God not only had to put the green in there, he had to design green. He had to make green. And then he had to give me eyes to see the green. And you just think about the levels of what God is doing. Look at this little guy. His back feathers are so furry and fuzzy there. And I noticed the little tip of his beak. I think you can maybe see it there. But that little beak, and you see how the little part hangs over. And God thought of how he can open up certain seeds and get to things. And he has every little thing worked out. So God took the time to design their feathers, the instinct of how they migrate. He designed their color, and he gives us the eyes to see that color. And so, brethren, whether they build a nest or whether they fly here in the south or the north, God has put so much thought into it. Let's look at a slide that shows us the variety of the food. When you think about that, you look in that picture and look at the color of it and look at the fact that that is coming out of the ground. You and I could take that dirt and we can't do anything with it, but God designed the seeds to bring forth all this nutritious food. And he not only created those seeds that produce, but then he gave us the taste buds so that we can taste all those different things and enjoy the flavors that he put into them. Brethren, we serve an awesome God, and we should think about that every meal we eat, every bird we see, and I could just go on and on. He's done so many things. Look at this flower. Isn't that an amazing flower? To think that God put the purple in there and arranged it and in such a way, and then he has so many different types of flowers that he planned out. Brethren, God made the seeds that continue to produce after their kind. He did it with the plants and the animals, and in humans, we multiply as he planned out. And the time is coming when he will allow us, well, I should say in the future, the time is coming when he will make it in the millennium, where everything will be prosperous and abundant, where the deserts will blossom like a rose. Look at the flowers in this picture and how varied they are. How beautiful they are, how colorful. And this is what God really intended. If you think back about the Garden of Eden, this is really what God intended for all along. And man sinned, and you know, man was put out of the garden. But this is what's coming in the kingdom, that we have the opportunity to help and teach others in the future. When we look at these pictures, we just think, what an amazing creator. What an amazing. Look at this scene of the outdoors with the clouds and the trees turning colors. David says in Psalm 34, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so as we sing songs about God's greatness, we should do it with our whole heart. We should put everything we can into it because it shows honor to God. And then we see a picture here of the earth, and you think about that earth. Right here in the middle of the universe is just a grain of sand in God's eyes. And so if you look closely on that, you can see the North American continent, and right below some clouds there, you can see the state of Florida. And so I want you to think for a moment, all of us right here, we're like little tiny grains of sand, little dots on that little state of Florida. And so, and we could say, why is God mindful of us? Then you take that state of Florida and you increase it to the whole United States and the North American continent, and then you go to the whole earth, and then we say it's just a grain of sand. And in all the universe, or let's say in this galaxy, and then you just take our galaxy, and it's just a grain of sand. And so God looks down through all these levels, and he sees us, and he has a great plan for us. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26, it says, Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. And if you stop and think about that, if he knows the names of all the stars, in a sense like knowing the names of all the grains of sand, then he definitely knows your name. He knows everything about you, and he is there to reach out and help you. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. And so God is never missed knowing when you pray to him, when you need his help. He's looking down and considering all that. Let's turn to one scripture here, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's notice what the author says here. He mentions here in verse 5 of Hebrews 2, For he, meaning God, has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. So he makes a little statement there that we think about. He goes, he hasn't put that under the angels. So who has he put it under? Well, we've been talking about that. Let's go to verse 8. It says, you have put all things. And in other translations, once again, it says the universe. You have put the universe in subjection under his feet, meaning man's feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. So this is what I was referring to before. God's plan is to put the entire universe under his children as an inheritance. But the time is not yet for that. It's coming. And so for now we have the earth under us. Verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Brethren, that is why we are here. God wants sons and daughters. He wants us to be in his kingdom. He knows when to call you. He knows your weaknesses, and he hears your prayers. God has it all worked out. It's all planned out. It's up to us. It's our choice of whether we want to join that family. And so when we think about this scripture of bringing many sons to glory, this is our purpose for existence, to become the children of the Most High God. So out of all the universe, humans are made in the image of God, and we're invited to join the family of God. We can never forget that. It's so great, and we need to work every day towards that goal. When we are glorified, in other words, when we're made spirit, God is going to allow us to inherit everything under his control. That's just like us as adults. We pass our inheritance on to our kids. God is going to do the same thing with his kids. And that's each of us. And so as first fruits, out of a great harvest that is coming, but just like we know in the agricultural cycle, God is calling us as first fruits so that we can prepare and teach others so that he can invite everyone into his family. Most of the world is confused on that. And so we look forward to that, and we know that God is getting us ready. He's preparing us to become his children, which leads me to why I put the title on this sermon, Our God is an Awesome God. This is what he is doing. He allows us, well, let me turn to one more scripture here. Notice this scene of just the universe looking out at the, you know, the billions of stars that are out there in the galaxies. In Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10, it states, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea." And so I think it's amazing that he not only compares people to the sand of the sea, but the stars are like the sand of the sea, and you can see that they're all going to be under us. "And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there it shall be said to them, 'You are sons of the living God.'" And so this ties right in with what we read in Hebrews, like we were born to be the children of God. And he has a great purpose that he is working out. Brethren, God is watching all of his creation, but he has a special focus on his future family. His goal is to have sons and daughters, to increase his family greatly. And so this leads us to understand that we should grow in reverence of God. We should respect him more. We should esteem him often. We should have adoration and magnify his name. We should fear him. We should praise him and worship him continually. This is what God is asking of us. Allow God to build his character in you by putting away anything that cannot be a part of the future kingdom. That's what repentance is all about, putting away those things that can't enter into that realm. And so God says, go to him for the help, because on our own, those sins are hard to overcome, aren't they? But God says, my spirit, which he calls a helper, is there available for those I have called. And so we should reach out and use that spirit. Why? Because it's a down payment, he says. It's a guarantee of having eternal life if we continue to follow the lead of that spirit. Let's improve our relationship with our Father and Jesus Christ. Study his word daily. Kneel before him and pray and give him praises for all that he has done. We should meditate on his creation often, the precision of it, the variety, the vastness, the color. All these qualities reflect our great God. If you get depressed from time to time, I ask all of you to turn around and consider what God has considered you to be a part of. One last slide. There's a picture of the Milky Way galaxy, which our Earth is in, and you look at just the vastness of everything God has created. Notice what it says in Nehemiah 9, verse 6. "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all." And then it says, "The host of heaven worships you." Brethren, I say, let's join the host of heaven and worship God every day with all of our heart. If we ask why, because our God is an awesome God.